pleasure to be here with you tonight. I appreciate Brother Collins being so kind to me to give me this opportunity to preach to you. I hope I don't disappoint you. I hope that I don't preach with as much emotion or whatever maybe as I used to. But I do preach my hardest. I preach the best of my ability. So if I do make some mistakes, you forgive me. I appreciate the opportunity to preach to you. This is one of my favorite churches in the whole world. When I went to Jonesboro, Illinois to pastor, I understood that I became pastor of a church that was full of trouble, had many, many problems. And I was praying, and I said, Lord, I know, Lord, that we need to have revival. And I don't want to just call some young preacher that would just be happy to get the offering or something like that. I said, Lord, I want you to lay a man on my heart that will understand that we have problems and preach, and a man that will have the ability and the nerve to get up and preach the truth. One of my main problems was homosexuality in the church, by the way, so it was some very serious things. And the Lord, when I was praying over at the church, He laid Brother Collins on my heart. I called Brother Collins, and he said, well, I've got other plans for the week you're asking me to come. He said, but I'd rather preach. So he came and preached. We had a terrific revival. Brother Collins preached every night just what my church needed to hear. Right after Brother Collins left, almost half my church left too. But we have survived, and the Lord made the way. He has been so good to us. And I appreciate Brother Collins. I appreciate this opportunity. Let me say that my wife has caught on to a way to make me feel better when I'm having pressures at the church or pressures in different things in life. You know how it goes. When I'm under a lot of pressure, you know, and things are really starting to bother me and making me sad, my wife has caught on how to make me feel better. And she will bring up the subject of coming home, which Greater Cincinnati is what we call home because this is where we was both raised. And she'll even ask me sometimes, she'll say, well, when are we going home, Doug? And I'll tell her the next time I plan to go home, sometimes several months away. And then I can count on it that for the rest of that time that I'm in a bad mood or I'm a little bit hard to get along with or I'm kind of sad or whatever, she will bring that up. She'll say, oh, Doug, be happy. We're going home in a month. We're going home in 3 weeks. Be happy. We're going home. We're going home. Well, I feel like tonight that I have got good news for you. I don't know if I'm leaving when the trumpet sounds that I'm leaving, or I don't know. Maybe it will be that I will die and go by the way of the grave. I don't know. But I've got good news for you. If you're sad, if you're a little bit hard to get along with tonight, if you feel the pressure of this life, I've got good news for you. We're almost home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Brother Collins, if you'll help me out and get me Mark chapter number 4. Okay. Mark chapter number 4, you'll have to excuse my problem that I have reading. Amen. Mark chapter number 4 and read verses 35 through 40.
And the same day, when even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? And how is it that ye have no faith?
Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Read on through verse 40 there.
And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this?
Praise the Lord.
That even the wind and the sea obey him.
Amen. What did they say to each other?
Amen. What manner of man is this?
What manner of man is this? That's what I want to take for a text tonight. What manner of man is this? Amen. Help me pray tonight. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, that I am well enough to stand here by myself, Lord. I thank you for sparing my life, Lord. And I have come tonight, Lord, not to brag upon myself in any way, shape, or form, but to brag about you, Lord. Give me the message tonight, Lord. Give me the anointing, Lord. Help us, Lord. I praise you. I love you, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I was praying a while ago during prayer request, and I said, Lord, I want you to help me preach tonight. I have planned on preaching. What manner of man is this? And that is about you and not about me. Help me to preach tonight.
Yes.
And I felt like the Lord came to me and he said, what manner of man am I? And I closed my eyes and I said, Lord, to me, you're my best friend. Hallelujah.
Yes.
How many would say he's your best friend tonight?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. I said, Lord, to me, you're my best friend. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I truly love the Lord. Amen. Now, Jesus, of course, he was prophesied by Gabriel to Mary that she was going to give birth, though she was a virgin. She was going to give birth to a son. His name is going to be Jesus. And the very next verse said that Gabriel said, and he shall be great. Amen. Well, Gabriel turned out to be a true prophet, didn't he? Amen. He became great, and he is great. Oh, yes. Amen. And so in Jesus' life, when he was 12 years old, if you remember the story, the educated ones set him down, asked him questions. He asked them questions. They had a conversation with him before Joseph and Mary could find him there. And there, those men was astonished at the wisdom, how much this young man knew, how much that he could understand, how much concerning scriptural things and religious things, what a good head he had on his shoulder. So they knew somewhat of what kind of man this was, because remember also that Jesus went back to Nazareth to preach the gospel when he first started preaching, and that he angered the people so much when he stood up and read the scriptures and started preaching a little bit, that they began to gather up stones to kill him. And the Bible said that Jesus went out from among them and walked right through them, and they did not even know what had happened to him, where he even went. Now, I don't know about you, but I can just imagine after that they looked around and said, hey, where'd that guy go? We're mad at him. Where'd he go? And then somebody said, I don't know. He was standing right there a minute ago. I don't know where he went. And they started looking around and heard, well, he's already left town. No doubt some of them were saying, well, how in the world did he walk right through us and us not even know it? How in the world could he walk right among us and us not even know that he's leaving? That tells me that he is great. Amen. That Jesus is a great man. He was a great man when he was alive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't you lift your hands and thank him that he, for coming to the world. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. When Jesus began to travel and in his ministry, he became quite known as a healer. You remember the blind man that would holler out, Jesus, 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 not because he could see him, but because someone said, Jesus is around us, and he would holler out for him. You remember that there was a lady that had heard of what great power that Jesus had, that he was the Messiah, and she believed it so much that when she heard he was going to be around, where he was going to be at, that she went to see him because she had a 12-year issue of blood. She was very sick. She had spent all that she had upon the doctors, had done everything in her power to get better, but she was very ill. And she heard that Jesus was going to be there, so she took off so she could get there near him and he could pray for her. But when she got there around him, she found that she could not just walk up to him and say, I have an issue of blood, please heal me, because there was such a crowd of people gathered around him. So what she began to do, she would be whole.
And you know the story. Finally, she got close enough to him that she could reach through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment. And Jesus said, "Who touched me? I felt a virtue leave me. Somebody touched me." And then he looked at her and said, "By your faith, you've been made whole." Amen. He healed her right then, right there. He healed her because Jesus is a healer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Since I've been at Jonesboro pastoring, I have seen the Lord do several miracles. Sister Rhoda Suits, which is Brother Jim Suits, if you all know Brother Jim Suits, the pastor is down at Elizabethtown, Kentucky, down near Louisville. His mom and dad go to my church. And Sister Rhoda Suits is his mom. And she became very ill for a while. She kept getting sicker and sicker. And I became so worried about her. I could see that she was losing weight. I could see that she didn't have the normal strength that she did. She's my song leader. And let me tell you, when she leads singing, you better like shouting, because Sister Suits, she leads singing, and sometimes she just takes off shouting, and I love it. But I noticed that that she was growing weaker, it seemed like, and you could tell it in her singing and in her everyday actions that she was growing weaker. And she went to the doctor, and they diagnosed her as having cancer called lymphoma. And they told her that she was not going to be around long. She was very ill. And so Sister Suits got well enough that one night she came to church, even though she was very sick, even though she wasn't able to lead singing, she came to church anyway. We gathered around and prayed upon her, and we did not say in the name of Doug. Oh, no. I love Brother Collins, but we didn't say in the name of L.L. Collins. We didn't say in the name of the Jonesboro Pentecostal Church. I love that church, but we didn't say that. But we prayed for her in the name of Jesus. And let me tell you, when she went back to the doctor and they'd done the test, they said, "Well, Rhoda, I can't explain it because I know you had it, but it's all gone now." Amen. Amen. And Sister Suits has not had a sick day since. She is healed and doing great, and she's back up there leading singing. We run an hour behind you, so at your time, our church didn't start tonight till 8:30. And I'm not there, but I guarantee you, Sister Suits is there. She's leading singing. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if when I call to see how things went, if they don't say, "Sister Suits shouted all over the place," because the Lord healed her, and she gives him all the credit. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We have another man in our church, Brother Darren Hoffman. He's a missionary man, and he's a wonderful friend of mine. And during my sickness, he has proved to me how much he loves me, because during my sickness, because I have an eyesight problem now, which, by the way, there's a big crowd here because I see two of everything now. All right. So I can see all of you, but I see more than one of you. I see two of you all out there. So that's twice the big crowd you normally have on Wednesday night, brother. Yeah. For me, amen. Well, Brother Hoffman, of course, I can't teach the Bible class anymore because of my eyesight problem, and I can't preach as much as I can. And Brother Hoffman has been my right-hand man. He has preached for me and taught my Sunday school class, and has been so good. He has run the services. And when I first had my accident, Melissa brought me back to church, but I was in a wheelchair, and she said it was embarrassing for her. And I said, "Melissa, honey, are you saying me being in a wheelchair was embarrassing to you?" And she said, "No, Doug, it wasn't the wheelchair that embarrassed me." She said, "Doug, every service, I took you later and later trying to help you. And every service, when I sit you down back there in that wheelchair, and the preacher would read his text, as soon as he started preaching, you'd throw your head back, open your mouth wide open, and you'd be sound asleep." And she said, "You wouldn't snore, but you would breathe so loud that everybody around would turn around and see, what in the world is wrong with that guy?" And she said, "You'd be sound asleep." And she said, sometimes people in the church would come back and say, "Sister Cornette, you want me to go ahead and take him home, put him back to bed?" And she'd say, I'd say, "No, I'll wake him up." And she said, "When I'd wake you up, you'd look at me and say, 'Let's go to the house.'" She said that got embarrassing, Doug, falling asleep and breathing so loud that the whole church could hear you every time somebody got up to preach. But Brother Hoffman, he never did call me down. He was the one usually preaching, and he let me sleep. He didn't get too loud. He kept his microphone down, and he let me sleep. Amen. So I appreciate that. He's been a wonderful friend of mine. He was married. He went... started mission work when he was 18 years old, and he was married, and in Central America being a missionary, his wife contracted the disease of malaria, and she ended up with malaria, having also hepatitis, which is a side effect of having malaria, and we all know hepatitis is very contagious, very catchy. And she ended up dying when Brother Darren was just in his early 20s. And so anyway, the problem happened that the hepatitis also got on Brother Darren, and several years later his kidneys shut down because the hepatitis problem was there. His kidneys shut down, and they gave Brother Darren up to die. They give him what they call that, dialysis, I believe it is, where they clean out the blood, they drain all your blood out and clean it and put it back in. He was taking that several times a week. He was very miserable. I remember seeing him and talking to him back then. He was a very, very miserable man. And the doctors told him, even though that he was getting the dialysis, that there was no hope of him living. They was willing to try a kidney transplant, but there was no hope that he was going to live very long. Well, let me tell you, he did have that kidney transplant, and Brother Hoffman is back doing great again. Amen. The Lord is a healer. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you, Brother Hoffman went back to Belize in Central America here a while back, and before he left, he took a lot of tests with the doctors. And when he came back home, the doctor gave him some very sad news. This has only been a couple months ago. The doctors told him that that disease that killed his kidneys and almost killed him the first time is back, and that it may be a couple, 3 years before it goes into full-fledged where he has major health problems, but that the disease is back in his kidneys. So let's lift our hands and pray for Brother Darren tonight. Lord, we know that you're a healer, Jesus. We know you're great, Lord. I know, Lord, that it's your mercy, Lord, that kept Brother Hoffman alive, Lord. I know it is your mercy, Lord, that has brought him this far. And I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, heal his body. Bless his mission work, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I know when I preach, which is usually about once a week back home, I try to preach at least once a week. I know that I always ended up talking about my accident, but I read about a man in the Bible named Paul, and you know what, when he preached, he would always start off with, on the road to Damascus. Amen. So he probably took different texts, but he always seemed to talk about the same thing, that he was the chief amongst all sinners, that he desired that all Christian people would be imprisoned and even killed. But the Lord, on the road to Damascus one day, came and visited him and changed him and saved him. Well, let me tell you about what happened to me on the road to Cape Girardeau.
Yeah.
I was on my way to Cape Girardeau to pray for an elderly man in my church who had had surgery. And on my way to the hospital, the strangest thing happened before I left, which I don't remember that day at all, but different men in the church told me. We was building a fellowship hall. And there was five men, including my next-door neighbor, who doesn't go to my church, but a good friend of mine who lives next door to me, all standing around outside the fellowship hall, working, and they said I drove up. I was in a Suzuki Samurai, which is a very small vehicle. And I drove around, and I said, hey, I'm going up to the hospital in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I need one of y'all to go with me. Why don't one of you guys come on and get in and go with me? And all five of them turned me down and didn't go with me. Well, I got news for you. I took Jesus instead. And I'm so glad I did. Because if Carl Woods, who is one of my best friends, one of the main men in my church, he told me no, he almost always goes with me when I go to the hospital to pray for somebody. But that day, Brother Carl said, no, Brother Doug, I got some other things I need to do today. I'm just going to let you go by yourself. If it had just been me and Carl in that car, I know I would have been dead, because when the accident first happened, the medics pronounced me dead. I know I wouldn't be here tonight, and Brother Woods probably wouldn't have lived through it either. But Brother Woods didn't want to go. He had some other things to do, so I took Jesus, and he's my best friend. What manner of man is this? Well, let me tell you about him a little bit tonight. When I had the accident, people that was there called the medics, and the medics came, and the medics checked with a stethoscope for my heartbeat. They couldn't find the heartbeat. They also checked for blood pressure. They also opened up my eyes and looked in them. And the head medic, the man that was doing the work, he said, this boy over here is already dead. He said, give me the DOA paperwork, which stands for dead on arrival, and I'll go ahead and fill out the paperwork because he's already dead. And one of the lady medics said, no, you can't fill out the paperwork. In Illinois, see, the state law is that a coroner or a licensed doctor has to be the one to fill out the paperwork and pronounce you officially dead. So the medic said, well, let's get a doctor out here. This boy's dead. Let's get a doctor out here. And the doctor never did come. So when the helicopter came, the medic went ahead and put me in the helicopter and helicoptered me to the hospital. And I didn't die. Because the medic, he already thought I was dead, and there was not a thing he could do to help me. But Jesus knew where I was at. He's the best friend I ever had, and he saved my life. What manner of man is this? Let me tell you. July 22nd of 1996, he gave me life.
Yes.
Oh, yes, he did. Amen. When I was 7 years old, at the Pentecostal Barn, they used to call it, there on Springdale Road, where my father-in-law now pastors, the Lord gave me life more abundantly.
Oh, yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So he is a giver of life, and he can not only give you life, but he can give you life more abundantly. Amen. Amen. There's probably people here tonight that you've got problems in your life, and maybe you don't even like your life too much. Maybe you think sometimes, I tell you what, I got so many problems that this don't get better and that don't get better. Well, I've got good news for you. I've got the right prescription that Brother Noah preached about for you. All you need to do is come and tell Jesus, and Jesus will make everything better. So my doctor that I went and seen several for a while after the accident, till just the other day I went and seen him because my mouth is wired shut. That's why I'm not as big as I used to be. They wired my mouth shut and kept my mouth shut for several months because my jaw was crushed. And so I lost near 40 pounds. So I'll give you the recipe for the diet, but you have to promise to do it. Amen. Amen. But so I went several months. All I could do was eat out of a straw, drink out of a straw, and different things. But anyway, that doctor that took care of my mouth as well, he was working in the emergency room that morning, and he said to me, he said, Doug, when you came in, he said, there was blood everywhere, and you look like you would not believe how you looked. And I said, well, thank you. I'm glad you was there. And he said, yeah. He said, but there were several doctors in the emergency room. He said, there was about four of us doctors. And he said, none of them helped you. He said, they just rolled you over and left you laying there. And he said, blood was going everywhere. And he said, after a while of standing over there and looking at you, he said, I went back over to the other doctors who were standing around, and I said, what are we going to do for this boy? And the doctors all said, he said, they all looked at me and said at the same time, he isn't going to make it. He isn't going to be alive more than a few minutes. We'd go over and try to help him, but there ain't no sense in it. He's almost dead. He'll be dead in a few minutes anyway. And he said, so I immediately went over and I said, well, he's not going to bleed to death with me standing here. So he said, I started taking care of the cuts, which was mainly in my head and in my face. He said, and I started sewing together the cuts and got the blood stopped. And when I got the blood stopped and got it all cleaned up and had you all cleaned up, he said, then the doctors decided, well, let's do our best to try to help him. Let's go over and see what we can do for him. And they put me on a life support. But let me tell you, the main doctor had already taken care of me.
All right.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My best friend had already been in the room. He already seen me laying there, and he had already touched me that I was not going to die. Not that day. No, 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 no. He had already done the work and decided that I was not going to die. Not that day. Amen. He healed me. He brought me out. So let me tell you, even after I got better and I got where I could walk with a walker, which in therapy they taught me how to walk with a walker, and got me out of the wheelchair, I came to Springdale Road up in Ohio on my walker. And matter of fact, if you've been to that church, you know the floor is not level, that it goes downhill. And so I fell constantly when I was on my walker. My grandmother, she passed away, my dad's mom here the other day, and I went to see her, and I fell right next to her bed, holding on to my walker. I fell, and I was very embarrassed, and Granny, of course, she rolled over and looked at me, and I felt so bad because I knew she was in a lot of pain, and I kept thinking, man, why in the world would I fall on the ground in front of my granny and her fixing to die? Now she feels sorry for me, more sorry for me than she does herself. But anyhow, so when I came into church that night, some of the men came back, Everett Miller come back, and he got a hold of me and walked me down so I could sit down without falling, and he walked me down to the front pew where I could sit down. And when they got done preaching that night, I made my way with my walker and stood up, and they all gathered around and prayed for me. And let me tell you, I was raising my hands worshiping the Lord.
Yeah.
Now, when I went to church that night, understand that my main injury was my brain damage on the right-hand side from where I was cut so much and hit so hard that I had no control over the left side of my body, because my brain injury on the right-hand side controls the left-hand side of your body. So I had no ability to do anything with my left-hand side. I could move my arm, but only if I took my right hand and moved it where I wanted it to lay, and then I could leave it laying there. But I could not even do this then. So my brother got up to sing after they prayed for me. He got up singing, "There's a miracle in the making for you." And I just started crying and thinking, "Oh God, please give me a miracle, Lord. Please give me a miracle." And I did not even realize it, but I had my hands straight up in the air praising the Lord. And let me tell you, Brother Collins, all of a sudden, I noticed that all of a sudden I could see better. Now, I still can't see well enough to be reading out of the Bible, but I can see 100 times better than I could before.
Yeah.
At that time, from the front pew, I could not see on the platform very well. I could maybe see the Bible desk, but that's about as far as I could see. I couldn't hardly see anything because of my brain damage. I could not hardly see anything when I looked around. And all of a sudden, I could look up on the pulpit, and I thought, man, I can see that whole pulpit. So, let me tell you what happened. My brother-in-law, Brian Miller, you all know Brian, I know. Kevin Webster was preaching the revival, and Kevin and Brother Miller was both standing there at the Bible desk. And my brother-in-law, Brian, come and stood between them, and he got a hold of Kevin and pointed down at me, and Kevin looked at me, and he just started laughing. And let me tell you, that old devil come to me and he said, "Can you believe you're here with this walker and come to church tonight crippled to hear this guy preach, and he's standing up there laughing at you?" And Kevin just pointed down at me and he just was laughing and pointing at me, laughing. And I thought, I can't believe that guy. I ought to go right up there and tell him, "What do you think you're laughing at, man? Don't be laughing at me." And so then Brian turned around to his dad, told his dad, and his dad looked, and he looked at me real good, close, and he pointed at me and he started laughing. And I thought, well, Lord, have mercy. I'll never be back to this church again as long as I live. I can't believe that. One thing for the evangelist to stand up and make fun of me. But for my own pastor, my own father-in-law to stand up there and make fun of me, I can't believe that. So Brian looked at me and he could see I wasn't smiling and that I was kind of looking at him kind of like, "What do you think you're doing, man?" He looked at me and he raised his left hand up in the air and he pointed at it and made a motion to me to tell me that my left hand was in the air. And I looked up in the air and I looked at my left hand and it was straight up in the air, and I knew the Lord had given me a miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, when Brother Miller dismissed service that night, which it was very late. How late was it, Brother Miller? It was after midnight, wasn't it?
Yeah, about 12:31.
Yeah, it was very late. They had done a lot of praying for me that night. And then people started testifying, and they could see that all of a sudden I could use my left hand, and different kids, which is the greatest blessing that I think has happened since my accident. There were several children, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, that stood up to testify. And when they testified, they said, "Well, I've heard about miracles all my life. I've heard people talk about miracles. But tonight is the first time I ever got to see one. When Brother Doug came, he couldn't move his left side, and now he's standing there with his hand in the air. The Lord's healed him. I've seen a miracle tonight."
Yeah.
That blessed my soul so much. So anyway, when Brother Miller dismissed and I stood up to leave, I just took off walking.
Yeah.
And my wife said, "Doug, your walker." And I said, "That's okay. Tonight is Dad's walker. Let him have it." So Dad carried my walker out and I walked back out to the van all by myself without the walker. And let me tell you something.
Thank God.
Not only did the Lord heal me well enough that I can lift my left hand now, not only did he heal me well enough that I could put my weight on my left leg, which I could never do before. That's the reason I had to use the walker, because I couldn't put no weight on my left leg. But now, I have not fallen since then. He healed my balance. I couldn't walk with the walker without keeping on falling. But I haven't fallen since then. I have been walking all over the place. I've been going to therapy. And let me tell you about one of my therapists. She's a good girl, but I taught her something. She said, Doug, she said, today we're going to go see how long you can walk. And I said, okay. So we took off walking through Carbondale on the sidewalk. We walked and walked and walked. And she kept saying, Doug, are you tired yet? And I said, no, I'm doing fine. And we walked and walked and walked. And after, I don't know how long we had walked, a long ways, which I was doing fine. I was keeping on walking. And she said, Doug, when we get up here to the intersection to the stop sign, let's turn around and go back. And I said, why? I'm doing fine, Andrea. Or is this all you can take? And she said, I don't think I can walk another block, Doug. We got to go back. So, but in therapy, I have a lot of different therapists there. I go to what they call Carbondale Comprehensive Services, where they mainly deal with people with brain damage. All the patients there have had head traumas and different things happen to them, different usually accidents. And one of the main things that they say to me, every couple days someone will say to me, now what year did you have your accident? And I say, oh no, I had my accident this July. And then they say they have the list there of all the bones that was broken, and all the blood that I lost and the terrible condition I was in. And they look down and they say, July this year? And I say, oh yeah. And they always say, well, you are amazing, which gives me a chance, which I don't preach as much as I used to at the church, but I preach more than I ever have in my life. I preach every day. Oh yes. And it gives me a chance to say, well, let me tell you a little bit about what happened to me. And they say, well, I know it says here you was involved in a car accident. You were hit head on by somebody. I said, yeah, but let me tell you. They pronounced me dead that day. And they say, yeah, it says here that you barely lived. And I say, that's true. But let me tell you, then I had my best friend with me, Jesus. And it's him, the reason that I'm here.
That's right.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And therapy, they do everything they can to help me. They've helped me do different things. They've helped me in different ways. They've helped me. They was the ones that taught me how to walk with a walker. And they teach me little things to do. But I got news for you. They haven't healed me at all.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
They haven't done one thing to make me overall better. They've helped me with small specific things, what they call strategies. If you can remember to do this, if you can remember to do that, if you can remember, do it this way, which they've helped me with my walking to try to limp less. And they've told me when you walk, put your hand in your pocket, make sure your shoulders are straight, and you'll quit that leaning to the left all the time, and the limp will be gone. So they've helped me in little ways, but they didn't teach me how to walk.
Right.
Oh no, my best friend helped me.
Amen.
Jesus is the one who has healed me.
Right.
I appreciate therapy. I appreciate the doctor that sewed up my cuts. I appreciate the ones that have done plastic surgery. I appreciate everything that they tried to do to help me. But I understand, had it not been for the Lord, I would have been dead. Jesus did it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you know what I can't wait for? One of these days I'm going home and I'm going to heaven. Now I don't know how heaven will be as far as our memory and so forth. But if I can remember what I went through here on this earth, which I think I will be able to, I'm going to stand around with those same disciples that was on that boat. And when it was over, they said, what manner of man is this? And I'm going to look at every one of them and I'm going to say, well, let me tell you what he did for me.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you what he did for me. That man that you was talking about, he's my best friend.
Oh, yes.
He saved and spared my life when I had no hope without him. He spared my life. He is wonderful. He is terrific. Let's lift our hands again and worship him. Tell him what you think about him. Talk to Jesus. Tell Jesus how you feel about him.
Wonderful counselor.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hold on to my whole
Christian. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There was no human able to help me. My accident was so bad, if you can imagine this. I never heard of this happening before. My front tire on the driver's side, my front tire in the accident came through the floorboard and almost cut off one of my legs. Can you imagine that? That it came all the way through the floorboard and cut my leg, and now I have a scar down my left leg from where the rim of that tire cut me and hit me as well as burnt me. My goodness, that is quite an accident. And there is nothing anybody could have done with an accident that bad. There's nothing anybody could do, but the Lord took care of it. The Lord took care of it. Hallelujah. How many feels like He's your best friend tonight? Oh, yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord has blessed me with perhaps the best wife that God ever made. She is a wonderful person, and I love her so much. And you know what? I used to tell her all the time. I would say, Missy, you're my best friend. But oh, let me tell you, when that happened, Missy could have faith. She could be there in the hospital with me. She stayed for several weeks without leaving the hospital to be there with me while I was in intensive care and so forth. But there was nothing that she could physically do to make me any better. I found out that she is a very good friend of mine, and perhaps she might be the best friend as far as humans, but I've got a friend that can do more than my own wife can do. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. My younger brother that's here tonight, he's a terrific guy. And I've made his life pretty rough. Of course, I've got some scars where he made mine pretty rough too. But I used to teach him how to be a man when he was still pretty young. I had just to make a long story short, I used to feed him dirt out in the yard. I'd knock him down, hold him down, pick up handfuls of dirt and cram it in his mouth. So I was pretty hard with him. But I tell you what, he's never tried it with me, which he knows better. But me and him have been close our whole lives. I love Wayne. But you know what? Dwayne came down there too and stayed down there while I was in intensive care. And I know that Dwayne had faith and he prayed for me so many times. Coming up tonight to get on this platform, I had to have some help to make those steps. And my brother grabbed me and helped me up those steps. He's a wonderful fella. He's a wonderful youth leader and a great preacher and a great singer. He's a great guy to have as a brother. But let me tell you, I've got a big brother that's better than my little brother,
yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
Dwayne did all he could to help me, but he was very limited to what he could do. But Jesus done more. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, can you imagine these people being on this boat, and just imagine that the wind is blowing hard and the waves are getting higher and the boat begins to fill up with water. I can just imagine as they are trying to dip the water out of the boat and are worried, and some of them are thinking, oh my goodness, we're all going to die. And then somebody says, hey, wasn't Jesus with us? And they said, yeah, he went in the back part of the ship back there to lay down, and they went in the hinder part of the boat and there he was on a pillow asleep. So they woke him up and said, Jesus, don't you care if we all perish? I mean, we're all fixing to die here, and you're sleeping through it. And Jesus stood up. He walks through the water, and he says, peace be still. The wind quits blowing. The waves quit rolling. Everything is calmed down. And then when the disciples begin to talk about, my goodness, that man had power to speak to the wind and the sea, and they had to obey. That man just saved our lives. That man, we was all going to die and drown, and he saved our lives. And then they said, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? Well, let me tell you, he is great. I cannot stand here tonight and even do justice to try to tell you how great he is. He is better than my limited vocabulary could ever describe to you. He's done more for me than I could ever tell you. Let me tell you, now, tonight, friends, as I get ready to close, let me tell you, I was never a drug addict. I was never an alcoholic. I wasn't out in any deep sin. The Lord saved me as a child. But the Lord did something better for me
than to deliver me from alcoholism or deliver me from drug addiction. He kept me from it.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Oh, yes. He saved me as a child. I grew up in church. I have been saved ever since I was 7 or 8 years old. I was a young child when the Lord saved me. I don't remember the exact date, but I remember the exact night. I remember what happened. I can remember very well when Brother Cole got done preaching that night. I went up to the altar and I started praying. And then I heard all these people praying around me and saying, "Save him, Lord! Save him, Lord!" And I thought, my goodness, I'm just a kid. They all know I'm a sinner. I must be a terrible sinner. So I stayed down and prayed a while. Well, when I finally got enough nerve to get up, I looked, and there was a drunk that came in that night, and he was down next to me praying, so they was all praying for him. But I thought they was all praying for me. And I was thinking, man. And they were saying, "Oh, God, deliver him, Lord, deliver him. Save him tonight, forgive him." And I'm down praying, thinking, "Oh, Lord, what all have I done? My goodness. I mean, I know I need to be saved, Lord, but my goodness, these people think I'm terrible." But when I got up, I realized who it was. And I went home that night, and I told my mom. I was kind of crying and kind of, you know, very changed. And my mom said, I said, "Mom, I got something I need to tell you." She said, "Okay, well, let's go in the bedroom." So we went in the bedroom. Mom sat down on the end of her bed. I sat up on the cedar chest. And I said, "Well, Mom, tonight, you know, I went there and prayed." And I remember Mom said, "Yeah, I know you did." And I said, "Mom, I think the Lord saved me tonight." And she said, "Son, if you feel like he did and you feel like you're forgiven and you ask the Lord to forgive you, did you ask him to forgive you?" And I said, "Yes, Mom, I did." She said, "Then you're saved. You're saved." And I've been saved ever since. And Jesus is my best friend. I am so glad that the Lord saved me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I don't have a testimony of all the things that the Lord brought me out of in this world, but I can tell you all the things the Lord kept me from. Amen. My goodness. There are so many things, so many temptations that I have had, especially as a teenager, that I could have got involved with, and so many things that friends of mine or so-called friends of mine was doing, so many things that neighbors did, so many things that people I went to school with did that I never did do because I knew those things was a sin and I was taught better. Amen. And Jesus is my best friend. Amen. And let me tell you tonight that through all of my life, I might would say if somebody said, "Who's your best friend?" I'd probably say, "Well, my wife, I guess." And if somebody said, "Yeah, but what about Jesus?" I might say, "Well, yeah, Jesus is my best friend." But let me tell you, I'd never understood before how much of a friend he is until now. But tonight, me standing here not holding on to anything tonight, me standing here knowing how I was just a month ago, just a few weeks ago, I couldn't have stood up here and preached this message. And I can see the clock, I can see the exit sign, I can see the back doors, and a few weeks ago, I couldn't even see any of you. I couldn't see this front seat down here because it's too far away. And now I can see around. And the Lord has healed me and blessed me so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, do me a favor. This is my prayer request tonight. Don't look at me and think, "Well, he's come so far. The Lord sure has blessed him and helped him." And then quit praying for me. Please keep praying for me. I am not 100% yet. I have still got things I need the Lord to move in. A matter of fact, my hospital bills are quite a large amount. I need the Lord to help me with that because I'm in a battle with the insurance companies on trying to get them to do their part. They haven't done their part so far, so I'm in a battle with that. And I need your prayers. Amen. I need the Lord to finish the work and heal me completely. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, my mouth was wired shut, which I told you about. And I came up to go to the picnic at Springdale Road. And I went to the picnic. I was still in my wheelchair. And that Sunday morning, that was on Saturday, that Sunday morning, Brother Miller, my pastor, preached about healing. And when he got done preaching, he pointed down at me and he said, "Come on, Doug, we're going to pray for you." So they wheeled me on up there. And Brother Miller and the church laid their hands upon me and prayed for me. That was on a Sunday. Friday, the doctor had explained to me, "Your jaw, I don't know if you're aware of this, but your jaw has a joint on each side. the bone, your jawbone, is in a joint here and here, and my jaw was crushed in the bottom, which I have a metal plate there now. And then it was growing back, the broke here was in here, but it was not growing back in the joint. So what the doctor said was, Doug, he said, even at the rate it's going, Doug, he said, if it keeps on healing like it is, it's going to be over in a few weeks, but you are never going to be able to eat regular food. You're never going to be able to have the use of your mouth again unless we go in there and do surgery. That was on Friday. Sunday they prayed for me, and let me tell you, Tuesday, going down the road, I felt something moving in my mouth. So without thinking, I opened my mouth. I reached in there and started pulling out the wires that had my mouth wired shut. The wires fell out of my mouth. Wednesday, I went on back to the doctor, and he looked at my mouth, and he said, well, Doug, let me tell you. He said, I can't explain it, but I can't find anything wrong with your jaw. Your mouth is completely fine. He said, your mouth is back to normal. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I feel like the Lord has blessed me enough to have some very good friends in this life. I feel like one of my good friends has come to church tonight, Brother Terry Witt back there. He come tonight. I don't know for sure, but I doubt he comes every Wednesday night here. I don't know that for sure, but I doubt that he does. Does he, Brother Collins?
No.
Well, he ought to. But anyway,
amen.
Brother Terry came tonight because he's a good friend of mine, and he knew I was preaching tonight, so he came to show support. I've got so many good friends in me, to me. So many preachers across this country, which I've preached for about 150-something pastors, and evangelizing. And now that I'm a pastor and had this accident, I guess every preacher I ever preached for, I guess, or near every preacher, called to check up on me when I was in intensive care. They called to check on me. So the Lord has blessed me with such good friends. But let me tell you something. Even though Terry is a good friend of mine, and I love him, and we used to go to college together, I think a lot of Terry. I got a lot of faith in him. And he's a good friend of mine. And I know if I ask him to do something, if he could, he would. But let me tell you, I was in a coma for 6 weeks, so I couldn't ask him to help me. And even if I would have been awake enough to say, Terry, could you help me? There was nothing he could have done. None of my friends could have. Most of my friends came all the way to Missouri to see me in the hospital. And then they put me in a nursing home after that. Because let me tell you, when I got well enough that the doctors decided, well, we've done all we can do for him, they put me in a nursing home because they frankly thought I would never be able to take care of myself. They decided, well, we don't need to keep him here because he's definitely going to live now, but he can't take care of himself. He can't dress himself. He can't take care of himself. We're going to put him in a nursing home where he can have 24-hour-a-day care so they can take care of him. So he put me in a nursing home. And so all of my friends came down to the nursing home and to the hospital and so forth. But none of them could help me. But I had one friend. I got one friend of all of my friends. He's my favorite. Amen. He's the best friend that a guy could ever have. He not only came to the intensive care room to see me, he not only came to the nursing home to see me, he's not only come to the house to see me, but this good friend of mine, when I had the accident, he got in the Suzuki with me.
Right.
Oh, yes, he did. He's the best friend I ever had.
Yes.
And he's the reason that I'm able to stand here and preach to you tonight. Amen. Let's all stand tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, what manner of man is this?
Yes.
He's great. He's my best friend.
Yes, yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
What a friend we have in Jesus.
Lord. Every now and then, the Lord speaks to me. But I got to tell you, I don't remember any time right off the top of my head that the Lord spoke to me any clearly than he did tonight when he was praying over prayer requests. And I said, Lord, help me preach tonight. I'm going to preach on Lord's will. What manner of man is this? And the Lord spoke to me and he said, well, Doug, what manner of man is this? And I said, you're my best friend, Lord. He spoke to me clearly. And I feel like the reason he did was because he wanted me to stand up and ask you, what do you think of Jesus? What is your opinion of Jesus? Let me tell you something, friend. I appreciate. I hope that my children love me enough that they feel like when they need something, they can tell Daddy. I have a 5-year-old and a girl that's going to be 3 next month. I hope that Caleb, who is 5 now, if there's things he needs, I hope he can come to me and say, Dad, would you help me with this, Dad? Would you do this for me? Because it's my obligation as his dad. It's my love for him because he's my son to do my best to help him. But you know what? There is nothing that makes me feel as good as before Caleb goes to school when he comes over and puts his arm around me and kisses me on the cheek and says, I love you, Dad. Oh, that makes me feel so good, let me tell you. And my little girl, she'll say, which Brother Miller can tell you about, she'll say, you're my best friend in the whole world. And when she says that to somebody else, I just look at her and I say, Chelsea, who's your best friend? And then she'll say, you are Daddy. Because let me tell you, I appreciate that my children have the ability, the nerve, and the understanding that they can ask me for what they need. I appreciate that.
Sure.
But nothing I enjoy any better than when my children tells me that they love me. Yeah. My mom and dad is here. I've asked them for so much, so many times. But, Dad, I love you. Mom, I love you. I know I could stand here tonight and say, Dad, can I borrow a dollar? And Dad, I'm sure, would say, sure, son, you can borrow a dollar. But, Dad, I love you. I know that makes my mom and dad feel better than for me asking for things. And I know tonight we all probably have needs here. We all have things that we could bring a whole list and write it out and bring it to the Lord tonight. But I know that He dwells in our praises.
Right.
He inhabits our praises. The very reason that He created man was because man has the ability to decide for himself how they feel about Him.
Yes.
And man can decide not to praise Him. Man can come and just give a whole big list of things they want and things they need, things they'd like to see happen. Or man can praise Him. And Jesus knows that. That is His whole reason for the creation of mankind, because He wanted something that could praise Him, not because they had to. All the trees, when the wind blows, the branches blow back and forth, and they're praising the Lord. They're giving the Lord praise. But they do that not out of choice, because that's how God created them. When the wind blows, the limbs move. That's out of creation. Amen? I think there are many animals that are very, very beautiful. Most horses, many animals. Lions, tigers, different animals that are just very beautiful to look at. But you know what? They are not beautiful for any other reason that their beauty praises the Lord. The stars that hang up in the sky tonight is His handiwork. That praises the Lord and shows how great He is. But it doesn't do it by choice. But what you do in this altar service tonight and what you do when you come down and pray is your choice. You can give Him a list of all the things that you want, all the things you'd like to see happen, all the things that you think ought to be. You can say, well, Jesus, I think this is the way it ought to be, Jesus. This is the way I'd like to see it. But for how many moms and dads do I have here? How many's got kids? Raise your hands if you're a mom or a dad. Now you tell me. Would you get mad if one of your children came up and said, hey, I need this. Could you do this for me? Could you help me with this? Oh, no. Oh, no. Jesus won't get mad at you if you come up tonight with a list of things that you need. But don't you love it when your kids say, I love you, Mom. I love you, Dad. I love you. Wouldn't it just make you feel great tonight if when you got home and got to the door, the phone was ringing, and you had to run in to pick it up, and it was one of your kids on the other line, on the other side, and they said, hello, I just called to tell you, I love you.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just make you feel wonderful? Uh-huh. Well, let me tell you, Jesus laid down His life and died for you.
Yeah.
He has proven that He loves us. And what He desires tonight is for everybody here to come and tell Him, what manner of man is He?
Yes.
What type of guy is He?
Right.
Let's all come around the altar tonight. Everybody that will, come on out to the altar. And let's tell the Lord what we think about Him. Amen. Amen. If you don't like Him, come on up and tell Him why you don't like Him. If you can think of anything. But I think everybody here can't think of any reason why they don't like the Lord. Because He is my best friend. He's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Let's tell Him just what we think of Him.